day we continue with our series rather than breaking the series for maybe a message on aggrandizing our fathers. One of the things that I remind our congregation of on Mother's Day and Father's Day is that every day ought to be Mother's Day and Father's Day for the believer. God says, honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And I think that those of us who know the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior ought to bear that in mind. Now, we have a message this morning about a man with a very strange name, Melchizedek. Oh, who is Melchizedek and what is this all about? Well, let's take a look at the text. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoil. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. Now, above all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Here, mortal men receive tithes, but there, he received them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Now, I admit to you, first of all, that this is a very difficult passage to deal with some people who are just occasional Bible readers. Those of you who study the Scriptures will know that Melchizedek first comes on the scene in Genesis chapter 14. He comes on the scene, he brings bread and wine to Abraham when Abraham was returning from the slaughter of the kings who took over Sodom and Gomorrah and took Lot and his family. Well, Abraham had a private army of 300 men, and he took his army and he defeated those kings. And on the way back, Melchizedek met him along with the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom offered Abraham gifts and he wouldn't take it. I don't want it to ever be said that this heathen king here made me rich. But Melchizedek brought the bread and wine to Abraham and his men, and Abraham accepted it. Now, in order to sort of set our text in a biblical context today, I want to remind you of 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. It says, all Scripture, not some Scripture, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And what is it profitable for? First of all, for correction. Then it's profitable for reproof and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for all good works or for every good work. Now, what we want to sort of focus on today from this text is that the Scriptures are given so that those of us who come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ may be instructed in righteousness. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So don't think that because you walked down the aisle, signed the four spiritual laws, and said the sinner's prayer, and go out into the world and live like the devil, you're going to go to heaven. That's not the way it is. The Bible doesn't say that that's going to happen that way. So now, what is the text before us today equipping us for? And why do we need to know about this Old Testament priest named Melchizedek? Well, Peter urges us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. Growing in grace means that we need to be students of the Word, not just a preacher. Everyone in the congregation ought to be a student of the Word. Study to show yourself approved unto God. That's what the text says. Don't study to show yourself approved unto me or unto the brethren in the church or the sisters in the church, but study to show yourself approved unto God, because the Scriptures will instruct you in righteousness. Now this righteousness, let me say a word about that. This righteousness has to do with our ethical conduct. How am I to think about things in the world, and what am I to do about the things that I think about in the world? Now, we have many, many perplexing problems in our society today, but God's Word answers them all. What are you supposed to think about capital punishment? Is it something that we ought to be doing, or is it something that we ought not to be doing? Well, if you are into the Word and you are being instructed in righteousness, you know that God says, "He who sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." That's God's judgment, not our judgment. What about all of the people in the world today who are cohabiting with one another outside of marriage? What are you supposed to think about that as Christians? What do you think about that? Well, everybody's doing it, and it seems all right, and it makes a lot of sense to try it out before you get into it, doesn't it? Yes, it does from man's perspective. But what does God have to say about that? God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's God's judgment. Instruction in righteousness teaches us how to think about the things that we're confronted with in this world. What do you think about stem cell research? Oh, boy. What do you think about homosexual marriage? And what is your attitude toward these things when you're confronted with it? Well, you see, if you are being instructed in righteousness, you have an answer. And your answer is not from man, it's from God, because man's opinions are always in flux. You know, we have an opinion today about one that goes one way, and tomorrow we have an opinion that goes another way. For a deeper appreciation and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to know about Melchizedek. The Lord Jesus Christ was unique in his humanness and his manhood. One of the things that we forget, we have a tendency to forget, and I see a lot of Christians wearing crucifixes. Well, my Lord was not on the cross that long, so, you know, some people still have him on the cross. He's not on the cross. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And he had three offices. The only man who held three offices. He was prophet, priest, and king. Now, in his kingly office, he is prefigured in David. David is described as a man after God's own heart. And why was David described as a man after God's own heart? Was it because he was sinless? Oh, no. Was it because he conquered his enemies? Oh, no. He killed a bear with his hands? Well, that didn't have anything to do with it. The reason that David is called a man after God's own heart is because David knew that the kingdom belonged to God. Now, beloved, that would be a great lesson for us today. For us in general today, if we come to grips with the fact that this world belongs to God, everything in this world belongs to God. You belong to God. I belong to God. Now, God can do anything with me He pleases, because God is sovereign over everything. David understood that God was the king of Israel. Saul didn't understand that. And I don't think his son Solomon understood it either. But David is called a man after God's own heart because he knew that the kingdom belonged to God. How many people in the world today know that this world belongs to God? Well, you know, people in the world today think the world belongs to me. And who are you? And what can you do, really, without God? God is the one that wakes you up in the morning. God is the one who gives you something to eat. God is the one who enables you to do anything that you do today, or tomorrow, or the days to come, if you live. Now, David represented the kingly office of Christ, and Christ is termed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is, if there is anyone on earth with any authority at all, they gain their authority from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If there is a Lord, Christ is the Lord of that Lord. Now, we see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament these references to Jesus as being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we also see that Jesus was the prophet. Not just a prophet, the prophet. But his prophetic office was represented in the man Moses. Moses was a prophet. He delivered Israel from Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea and into the wilderness and all of that. And Moses said in Deuteronomy, and I'm going to ask you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now, I know all of you know where Deuteronomy is, right? Didn't hear any comments on that. That's okay. Beginning at verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. What is being written here is that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be raised up and going to be a prophet like Moses, but he is higher than Moses because he is God Almighty. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. Now, verse 16, according to all you desire of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from their brethren, and you and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be, whosoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. I'm going to stop right here just for a minute. Everyone in the world is going to be judged by God's word, which is God's covenant. Everyone in the world. Now, whether you know it or not really doesn't have anything to do with it. God is going to judge everyone by his word because he sent his only begotten son into this sin-cursed world to tell us what he requires of us. But not only did he tell us what is required of us, he went to the cross and died, pouring out his blood in order that everyone who believe in him should be saved, should have a perfect redemption. So, verse 20 says, but the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken and it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. The Lord Jesus Christ is higher than Moses. He is also higher than David, and he is higher than Melchizedek. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest. Now, I know Muhammad Ali assumed that saying, but he didn't know what he was talking about. And those of us who have lived long enough to see him now know that he didn't know what he was talking about. He was not the greatest. Jesus is the greatest. Now, we need to notice that neither of these three offices were held by any man other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses was a prophet and a priest. He was not a king. David was a king and a prophet. He was not a priest. And Melchizedek was a priest and a king, but not a prophet. So Jesus Christ is unique in that he held these three offices. Now, I want to share with you a passage of scripture from Colossians that sort of brings this into a little more focus. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 15 to 18. I'm sorry, 1, chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. And then Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says, he, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. He is the preeminent prophet. He is the preeminent priest. He is the preeminent king. He is in charge of everything, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you drop down to chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, beware lest any man cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. And this is what I was referring to a minute ago. This world, this world's philosophies are in error. because the philosophers, for the most part, are in error. And they deceive the world through empty deceit. Empty deceit. Let me share with you one thing that constitutes empty deceit. It's popular today for everybody to have a tattoo. If you're going to be with it now, you've got to get a tattoo. What does the Word of God say about that? The Word of God says you shouldn't make any markings on your body. That's what the Word of God says about it. I don't care what the world says. What the world says is empty deceit. But we have a lot of Christians who feel like they got to get a tattoo. What are you doing when you get a tattoo? You're saying when you get a tattoo, I'm not satisfied with the body God gave me. I've got to make it look a little bit better. I've got to make it look a little bit different. I've got to have something that makes me stand out from everybody else. So I'm going to have a different tattoo put on my body. And a tattoo is expensive, and it is more expensive, almost prohibitively expensive, to get one taken off. Those of you who are in the Christian church need to know that. And I know that preachers are not talking about this. I know that. And the reason preachers are not talking about it, because they have people in the congregation with tattoos. But let me tell you what. The loving thing is to tell you what the Word of God says about it. Beware lest any cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. If I'm complete in Christ, why do I need to put some permanent marking on my body? Doesn't make much sense, does it? You are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. We meet Abraham in Genesis 14 in dialogue with Melchizedek, to whom he paid tithes. The king of Sodom was there also, and he told the king of Sodom told him to take all the goods and give me the people. And Abraham said, no, I don't want that. You can have it all. Only what the men have eaten, that's all we are taking from you. Now, we are told to consider how great this man was to whom Abraham paid tithes. In order to really come to grips with our text today, we have to sort of start to think the way Jews thought. And Jews thought that Abraham was next to God. So it was hard for them to come to grips with the truth that there was someone higher than Abraham. Abraham was the lesser who was blessed by the better, by Melchizedek. Now Melchizedek met him when he was returning from the war, and also he was king priest of Salem. We believe that that is Jerusalem. And he is described as the king of peace and the king of righteousness. Now, this word righteousness comes up in the Bible over and over and over again. If you expect to get to heaven, you're going to have to live a righteous life. And how do we live a righteous life? We can only live a righteous life if we live according to what's given to us in the Word. God has given us His Word. And His Word is complete. Nothing needs to be added to it, and nothing should be taken away from it. So this priesthood that Melchizedek had gave him a unique office because he was not of the tribe of Levi. Levi was in the loins of Abraham when Abraham met Melchizedek. Now, Admittedly, there's a very difficult passage in this text of ours. He didn't have mother or father, beginning of life or end of days. What does that mean? Well, when you study this text very carefully, you will see that that's talking about Melchizedek's priesthood, not his life. He was a priest appointed by Almighty God, and God appointed him priest as a perpetual priest. God exists in eternal now. So God appointed Melchizedek a priest forever. Now, he did have a mother, and he did have a father, but his earthly mother and father are not mentioned in the scriptures anywhere. In fact, Melchizedek is only mentioned in Genesis 14, and I think it's Psalm 110 he's mentioned again, before we come to the New Testament. So, what that text is saying to us is that Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God, appointed by God, who exists in eternal now. He had no beginning to his priesthood. He had no end to his priesthood. He is like unto Jesus Christ. He's a prototype of Jesus Christ, or if you will, a type of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ also has a priestly office that had no beginning, had no end. He is a priest eternally. But he is over Melchizedek. Abraham is under Melchizedek, and this must have been a shocker to the Jews, because the Jews figured that I'm a son of Abraham and I'm all right, because Abraham was next to God. What the author, I believe it's Paul here, is saying is Abraham has someone over him during his earthly life. Hallelujah. Now, Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. I know that this is another touchy subject, because there are many of you who lay claim to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who think you don't have to tithe. That's Old Testament, is it? Beloved, it's New Testament also. You read the New Testament, you'll find out that it's New Testament too. What is a tithe? Well, it's 10% of whatever you make. That's the start. That's where you ought to start. If you read the Old Testament, you'll find that Israel tithed 1/3 at one point. But we have a problem with that. Let me tell you something. If you tithe faithfully for 6 months and you're not better off after the 6 months than you are now, you come to me and tell me, and I'll never say another word about tithing. That's my challenge to you. I know some of you have financial problems because you're not honoring God with what God has given you stewardship over. Now, Melchizedek had a divinely appointed priesthood with no genealogy. The Jews thought that the Aaronic priesthood was the highest form of the priesthood because through Aaron they got the law. But here they're being told that Melchizedek was over Aaron because Aaron paid tithes to Melchizedek through Abraham when Aaron was in the loins of Abraham, the Levitical priesthood. Now, he was greater than Abraham. His office was a perpetual office. He was a priest forever. What does this mean to you and me? Well, what it ought to mean to you and me is that our Lord Jesus Christ must have the preeminence in our lives. He must have the preeminence in our lives. We were at a wedding yesterday, and Brother Parks and Sister Parks' daughter, Alex, got married, and Reverend Slack, who did the ceremony, charged them. He charged them to love one another. But he said to them, if you love one another more than you love Christ, you're off base. You're way off base. If you love anything more than you love Christ, you're off base. Because Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, left the glories of heaven and came to this sin-cursed earth to be sin for everyone who will believe in Him on the cross. He poured out His blood on the cross. He died, was buried, and got up again. Hallelujah. And that's the gospel, and that's what you have to believe if you're going to be saved. Now, in order for us to draw close to God, we have to come close to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to pray that God would give us of His Holy Spirit that we may see Christ. Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ if you never open up your Bible. I just retired from my teaching job in New York, and one of the courses that I taught there was how to study your Bible. And the first thing that I insisted on in the course, how to study your Bible, is learning the Bible. Now, I have people coming to the class who've been in church all their life, some of them. Some of them have been in church 35, 40 years, some deacons and officers in the church don't know the Bible. You say, let's take a look at Habakkuk. What? What's that? Well, that's a book in the Bible. That's what it is. So what I'm saying to you, beloved, if you have made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus ought to have the preeminence in your life. He ought to be number one. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, on a practical level, we have Father's Day today, and we have children. We love our children. But Jesus should be loved more than our children, over and above our children. Hallelujah. One of my sons are here today, and two of my granddaughters. Hallelujah. I love them with all of my heart. But Jesus comes first. That's what we need to know about Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a type of Christ. He was over all of the priests because his appointment was divine. He was not a priest by genealogy. He was a priest by divine appointment. Christ is a priest by divine appointment who is over even Melchizedek. And we need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The more you get to know about Jesus Christ, the more you will love Him. In our Sunday school this morning, Elder McGarry shared with us about how the love of Christ positively affected him when he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially, beloved, when you consider how sinful you are and how much you deserve to go to hell and what Christ has done for you by leaving the glories of heaven and coming to this sin-cursed earth to be sin for you on the cross, how can you help but love Him? You can't help but love Him. And this is why you need to know about Melchizedek. You need to know about David. You need to know about Moses. You need to know the Scriptures. Amen. Our Father and our God, we do thank You that You have revealed to us the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is over David, over Moses, and over Melchizedek. And we pray, Lord, that as we continue our sojourning here, You would help us to put things in their right perspective, that we would not be deceived by the philosophies of this world, but that we would yield to You in submission and love You above all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.